The lawyers know it, both the prosecutor and the defense. The police force knows it, and the judge even knows it. But as we sat in those deliberations, my mind immediately took me, Brother Hoffman, to a time where I was thinking about court. Okay? Now, I want to talk to us tonight about Jesus Christ, the judge. As I watched this defendant sit there without emotion, without remorse, I immediately thought about myself, Brother Bill. That's an odd place to think about when you are watching this case unfold. It's an odd place to think that could be me. But as I sat there in this experience, my mind began to imagine what it would be like if that was me sitting in that defendant's chair. Brother Maggard, I imagine myself sitting in that place of pressure. If anyone's ever stood before a judge, whether it be a small offense or a mighty offense, you know there is a sense of pressure, of stress. No one here really needs to raise your hand if you've ever had to stand before a judge. I can say that because of my lead foot, I have had to stand before a judge and plead no contest to speeding. And that judge, with his mighty wisdom, said guilty and gave me a fine. But there was a sense of panic here. I thought, what would it be like if tonight, Brother Burr, we were in a courtroom, but not a courtroom of law, but if we were in the court of the Almighty God? You see, and I'll be honest with you, I did not take my text after this morning, but Brother Durth, if you wouldn't mind, my text this evening is Romans chapter 14, verse 10 through 12. Pastor Hurst had this very text this morning. The Bible says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord," and He is alive tonight. The Lord is a judge tonight, and He is alive. "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Tonight I want to preach on, and it's just going to be a little while, on Jesus Christ the judge. When I stood before the honorable judge of Montgomery County, I knew why I was there. I had a summons, I had a ticket that said, "You must go before a judge for the crime of speeding." As I went into that courtroom, I was all imagining that I would go in and I would plead my case, and I would be, you know, a tough guy, and I would have all the right words to say. Most of the time I can think of something pretty quick to say. But it was until my name was called, when the name Brian Michael McKelvey was called before the judge, immediately every smart word I had planned out went out the back of my mind. Everything that I had planned, everything that I had for an excuse, every reason that I could come up with that I could get away with this, immediately left when I realized there's nobody else up here. It's the judge and it's me. I didn't have somebody with me to plead my defense. I didn't have anybody else there to say, "Hey, I'm a witness. It wasn't him." I was standing there alone. And an immediate pressure and nervousness took over that situation. All I could say was, "Yes, sir. No, sir. Please, sir. No, sir. Thank you, sir." And I was gone. You see, I realized very swiftly that when you get before a judge, you really don't have a whole lot to say. And we know that in the world we live in, there are some very good judges. There are some corrupt judges. I did a study this week on some judges that were corrupt and that were found to be corrupt. And it was amazing to see the abuse of power. But we know that there are judges out there who are good judges. But let us be reminded that the office of the judge is merely to interpret the law. They did not determine the law, but they decide whether positively or negatively that the charges that are brought before them will be decided by the law. And as I was sitting there in that courtroom, and as I was imagining myself sitting in the defendant's chair, what would happen tonight if it wasn't just a judge from Montgomery County or Preble County, but what tonight would happen if it was a judge who is also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You know, an earthly judge can only decide upon the evidence that is presented before him. Unless there is a witness that says, I saw this happen. I have a recording of this taking place. That judge is bound to make a decision only upon the evidence that is presented. But how do you get away with something when the judge sees everything? I thought tonight, you know, Jesus Christ, the judge, he needs no litigation because he's seen everything from the beginning of time. Jesus Christ, the judge, does not need a witness, for he himself is a witness of the crimes that you and I have committed. You say, I've never done anything wrong. Oh, in this court, we have. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That automatically declared that you and I are defendants in the very same case. What is this case? The case of crucifying Jesus Christ. You say, I had nothing to do with that. Oh yes, we did. Because there was a God in heaven who knew that by His own holiness, His own nature determined the law. You see, there's a difference there automatically. A judge merely interprets the law, but our judge, Jesus Christ, He wrote the law. He Himself is the law. All the measure of our sin or our good is measured against not just a piece of paper, not against a precedent, but it is measured against the judge Himself. And He is always right. He has never once made a mistake. He has never once had to go back and reprise a statement. He has never one time had to ask for forgiveness for making a false accusation. Jesus Christ has always and will always be an honorable and a just judge. The Bible said here that one day you and I, everyone in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, will stand before Him. What will our defense be? Our crime is that we have crucified Christ by our sin. There was only one way that we could ever get back to God. So Jesus Christ, the judge Himself, laid down His life and took upon Himself our sin, our transgressions. It was you and I that had broken the law. It was you and I that have transgressed against God Himself. And now we are to stand for those crimes. What will our defense be? If you're in Dayton, I suggest getting John Ryan. I don't know how that man sleeps at night, but he can get anybody off. If you don't know who John Ryan is, watch Channel 2 News. He's on there about every week. Brother Tim, I have no defense here. You see, the judge is also the witness that says you did the crime. Brother Jerry, if I go before the court, how can I argue with a judge? If he's got evidence that I have committed the crime, I have nothing to say. I can only plead guilty. Tonight we're guilty. If we have sinned, we are guilty. It was not Christ that sinned. It is mankind. The Bible says that by Adam, by this one man, sin entered into the world. And from Adam on through the generations of time, every generation has been held accountable and has been held guilty of breaking the laws of God. I imagine Christ standing there and asking me, How do you plead? And I want to plead not guilty. That's the overall objective here. I don't want to stand guilty for the crimes that I've committed. What would happen, Sister Norvell, though, if we were in a court today and a judge said, I know you're guilty. I've got the evidence that you're guilty. You're free to go. That's not justice. That's not justice. If you did the crime, you're supposed to pay a punishment. A law in itself is described as a system of rules and guidelines that are usually enforced through a set of institutions. It shapes politics and economics and society, and it serves as a primary social mediator of relations between people. Without consequence, the law is void. Without consequences, the law is meaningless. If you can go around and do whatever you want to do, there is no justice there. You have anarchy. The Bible says in the book of Romans, Paul was saying, I did not even know that I was a sinner until the law told me so. We have no excuse. We have no defense. We are guilty. But the judge says, hang on one second. You know, I thought about the prosecutor in this case. Most of the time, a prosecutor, a district attorney, an individual who knows the law, who is supposed to be a defender of the law, he tries everything, or she tries everything in their power to get what? A conviction. I've never heard of a prosecutor asking for a no guilty or a not guilty plea. They want a conviction. They want to put somebody behind bars. But the judge is also the district attorney. Because by his own laws, he says, if I am to be just, I must punish sin. Because of who I am, he is a merciful God. We talk about that all the time. He's a loving God and a merciful God. But because he is just, because he is holy, he must punish sin. 100% of the time, there is always an accusing of a conviction. Isn't that amazing how when we get into church, we pray for conviction? What is it? It's an acknowledgement that we are guilty. It's an acknowledgement that we have transgressed the laws. It doesn't matter the sin. The punishment will always be death. We know that Romans 6:23 says that all sin will be punished by death. It's the wages of sin. But now imagine this. A judge saying, you did the sin. You broke the law. And he steps down off of his platform. And he says, I'll pay the price. That is not natural. Tonight, as I was sitting there, thinking, God, why? What would ever convince you to come off your throne and say, not guilty? What would ever convince you to say, you can go free? What would ever convince a righteous, holy God to say, son, daughter, welcome? Because he loves us. Hallelujah. Tonight, he is holy. He is just. He is true. But he is also merciful. Hallelujah. He knew that you and I would be here tonight. He knew that we would transgress the law. He knew that we would have sin in our hearts. And he knew that there was no way possible for you and I to take care of the penalty on our own. The only sin that could be forgiven by us was that we would sacrifice. But now sacrifice is long gone. He knew they needed a way of escape. And he laid down his life. And he took on the penalty, Brother Jerry. When I became a Christian at Southern Ohio Youth Camp, up until that moment, I had a death sentence upon my life. I was guilty. I knew that if I died that night, I would go to hell because of my actions. But I met a Savior, and He was the judge, and He forgave me. And now when I will still stand before the judge. We're all going to stand before the judge, even if we're saved or not. He said every knee will bow. But now when I stand, I can say not guilty. How do you plead not guilty? I know the accuser of the brethren is going to say guilty. I saw everything he did. Guilty. Satan knows that I've made mistakes. The enemy knows that I've messed up. Guilty. The judge is going to say, I don't remember any sin. Because where the sin was, all I can see is the blood. Hallelujah. Woo! Not guilty. Church, I stand tonight knowing that if I die tonight, I am going to make it to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. And where I was guilty, I no longer am guilty. Where I was condemned to die, He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, church, He said tonight, by the Spirit's leading and by the voice of the Lord, He is coming soon. Will you be guilty? Or will you be able to say, not by my own account, but I'm not guilty. Church, I know what I've done is wrong. I know the things that I've done in my life that I deserved. I deserved hell. But I know a merciful judge. I wish we could say that across our land, that we know judges in our counties, in our states, every one of them. It would be great to think that they were always 100% honest and right and pure. I can say this judge is. I want to ask us tonight, can you say not guilty? Can you definitively say, by God's grace, not guilty? You say, Brother Brian, I knew this judge before. And I could have said it before, but it's been a long time. And I've sinned since then. And I'm a repeat offender. I'm a sinner. I am amazed tonight to tell you that the judge is still merciful. The Bible said, ask. Ask, and it shall be given. Say, Your Honor, I'm not worthy of Your forgiveness tonight. And I would plead guilty. But I'd like to ask You, Your Honor, would You have mercy? Would You give me a pardon? Would You recuse my sentence? Your Honor, would You have mercy? And there has never been one time, not one time, where the judge has said no. He said, whosoever will, let him come unto me. Hallelujah. Woo! Not one time has He ever turned anyone away. Not one time has He ever said no. Whoever will, let him come. And He's always been merciful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand tonight? Oh, hallelujah. The Bible said in the book of John that the Holy Spirit comes to convince of sin, to convict of sin, to convince of righteousness, convince of Christ. The law is still the law tonight. And you and I will stand accountable for the things that we have done. The Bible said that every idle word will be judged. He knows everything that we've done. But in spite of all that, He still said tonight, if you'll come, I'll forgive it all. And I'll forget it as far as the east is from the west. I will never remember your sins as long as they're under the blood. Sounds like a deal that I would never want to pass up. Why don't we bow our heads tonight? I'm going to pray right now, and I want to ask you, if you do not know Christ in this house, whether you are 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, whether you're a teenager, a young adult, a child, an elder, if you do not know Christ, I want to ask you right now to come. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to do anything. But while we pray, I want you to come and kneel before the judge now. Confess to the judge now. Why? Because one day you will kneel and you will confess. But if you wait until that day of judgment, it will be too late. Tonight you have an opportunity to stand before a judge that will wipe the slate clean. He will forgive every sin. He will cleanse every stain by the blood of Jesus Christ. Would you come? Heavenly Father, I pray right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would pour out your love and your mercy and your virtue upon this house. Oh, Holy Spirit, convict hearts. Oh, Father, do a work of mercy. I thank you that you have been merciful to us tonight. Those who you call the beloved, those who you call your own, you have forgiven us, and we stand before you tonight covered in the blood. Your blood, Lord. The precious blood of the Lamb. If there's anyone in the house, I want you to come. If you're not a believer, if you're not serving Christ, everything you're missing, you will find in Jesus Christ. There's not a sin that He cannot forgive. There is not a transgression that He cannot wipe clean. The Bible said, though your sins be red as scarlet, they shall be made as white as wool. Red like crimson, white as snow. Right now, are you here tonight? Come. Come. Oh, Jesus, speak, Lord. Church, I want you to come. Let's find a place to pray tonight, and let's thank our Savior, who is not only our Savior, but He is the judge. Let's thank Him for His mercy, His love, His compassion. Oh, hallelujah. He is long-suffering to us. He is patient. He doesn't start with us where we should be or where we could be, but He deals with us where we are, right here, right now. Oh, what a God. What a Savior. He loves you tonight.
Stand accused.
He loves you.
There's a list a mile long of all my sins.
Oh, Jesus.
Of everything that I've done wrong, I'm so ashamed. There's nowhere left for me.
Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
I must answer for my life. My fate is in the judge's hands.
Oh, it's a promise.
But then He turns to me and says, I know you, I love you, I gave my life to save you. Christ, full